going to read to you this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. We've got a little PowerPoint this morning called A Different Kind of New, and I'll be referring, as Alistair said, to a couple of points in the testimonies that were shared with us this morning. The one particular point that really moved me was when Thomas said, I came to Scotland for a better life, and I found eternal life. Wouldn't that be wonderful if there were others here this morning who came to watch a baptism and actually met Jesus? That would be our prayer for you this morning. Right, very quickly, a different kind of new. Hear the call of the kingdom. No. Are you impressed so far? Right, human beings love new. Now, they were very honest. And they shared with us that when they came, they wanted to have new things, they wanted to have more money, and that's perfectly normal and defensible, and all of us are like that. But human beings love new. We might like new clothes or a new car or a new house or something like that. Maybe at this time of the year, some of us might want to hear the call of the kingdom. Somebody might want a new Black & Decker power lathe with dual speed gears. I'm just saying, you know, in case there's anybody in the audience this morning. Next slide. Just a little 16-ton hint there. Okay, on to the next slide. The problem is today's new becomes tomorrow's old. Now, they shared with us, and this is many people's experience, that you might think, if I just get this house, or I just get this car, or I just get this pay rise, then that will be me satisfied. Actually, satisfaction doesn't lie down that route. And they were very honest and shared with us, it was never enough. Did you hear that expression? It was never enough. Next slide. There is a common problem for all of us that you set out with great ambitions in life, and eventually you get old and you start facing retirement, and you think, did I do everything that I was supposed to do? And you look in the mirror and you see your dad, frankly. Next slide. This was my dad's dream car. Talk about wanting a better car. He wanted a Mercedes-Benz. Now, he's not alone in that, because I can see a few smiles here. The problem is, by the time I inherited it, next slide, this process of things getting old inevitably happens not just to us, but to everything that we might like to own. So the problem is, satisfaction does not lie down that road. I hope you really picked that up from the testimonies this morning. Satisfaction does not lie down the road. Jesus said, a man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses, but in every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I thought that was so helpful this morning. Thank you for being so honest with us and sharing that. Next slide. New is very exciting. We believe whenever there's a change that something new and wonderful is going to happen. There's a general election coming up. I'm old enough to have seen a few. And every time you believe government is going to renew the country, it's going to be a better Britain and strong and stable government and for the many and not the few, and it's all the slogans and so on. And the chances are, it's not actually going to be that new. I hate to be cynical about it, but it's human beings. And the answer doesn't lie in possessions, and the answer doesn't lie with human beings either. Aga actually shared with us that she had been told lies. Human beings don't have the answers. Next slide. God's renewal is complete and permanent. Two qualities of any other kind of renewal that will be missing, conspicuous by their absence. What the verse says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. Next slide. This is Cramond Tower. This is the oldest house in Edinburgh. Well, it's the oldest inhabited house in Edinburgh. And my cousin lives there. And when he bought it, I said, George, you're mad. Now, it's still technically true that George is mad, but he bought the tower for £3,000. There was a tree growing out of the side of it. It had no roof. There was graffiti on the inside, and it was surrounded by brambles. And he said, I am going to live there, and I'm going to turn that into my artist studio. And I rest my case. George is completely mad. However, next slide, when we started work on it, we had to renew it from the outside in. So the first thing we did was we built a roof on the top. Well, no, the first thing we did actually was pull the tree out of the side, and it just about pulled half the wall with it, but that's another story. So the restoration had to be from the outside in. It had to be watertight. Then next slide. This is what it looks like today, and that's Ben, who is the world's worst guard dog. He will lick any burglars to death. You see the archway over the fireplace? It's completely fake. The fireplace had collapsed completely, so we put a reinforced concrete beam in there and we glued stone to the outside of it. Now, don't tell anybody that, because people are really impressed by that. But it was restored from the outside in. So first of all, we needed a new garden because we couldn't even get access to the tower. We built new paths, then we put a new roof on the top, then new windows, and then once it was air and watertight, with the new pointing on the outside, put in new stairs, and then new rooms, and finally, it was livable in. God does it completely the other way around. He does it completely the other way around. Next slide. Last week, we looked at Matthew chapter 9 and the story of the man who was lowered down through the roof and he was paralyzed, and his friends lowered him down through the roof, and Jesus said to him, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven. Wasn't quite what they had in mind. They wanted Jesus to heal him, and what Jesus said to him was, your sins are forgiven. Now, why would he do that? Well, it's because, interestingly, Samuel was told in the Old Testament, men look on the outward appearance, God looks on the heart. And his outward appearance, he was a paralytic. But God saw a higher priority. Inside, his heart was not right with God. And what needed to be done was his sins needed to be forgiven. All three shared with us the joy of being released from the burden of sin. It was just wonderful to hear their stories. And that was Jesus' priority. Now, he did heal him. But he asked the question, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say rise up and walk? And for Jesus to say your sins are forgiven cost Jesus his life. Next slide. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He restores my soul. God starts from the inside and works his way out. He starts with our heart. He restores our soul. Next slide. So, for us, it's this way around. God gives us a new, clean record. When people are baptized, that's not their sins being washed away. That's an outward expression of what has already happened on the inside. They're saying, Jesus has washed my sins away. And they can testify to that publicly through baptism. But he also gives us a new value, a new status. Not only does he forgive us our sins, But that qualifies us to be adopted into his family. When we become Christians, we become royal. We belong to God. He gives us a new clean heart. David again said, "Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me." And God sends his Holy Spirit to start a process, we call it sanctification in the Bible, a process of making us more like Jesus. But he gives us a new future and a new direction and a wonderful new sense of purpose. Suddenly, life takes on meaning. Now, I can't remember who it was that said it. It might have been Thomas that said it, that without the future ahead of us with Christ, what are we doing? Are we just working and waiting to die? Hopefully it's not as depressing as that, but it's quite close to that when you start thinking about it. What is our ultimate purpose in life? Next question. What about you? In the same chapter, the Apostle Paul goes on to say to the people in Corinth, he says, "We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." It's the most important decision you'll ever make. God loves you beyond your wildest dreams and is desperate for you to reach out to him. And the Bible says, and when we do, he will never turn us away. No matter what background we've got, no matter what sins we might have on our record, he wants to set it all clear, and Jesus' death on the cross pays for that. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Wouldn't that be the greatest Christmas gift ever if we were to reach out and say to God, "God, I'm just like these three people this morning. I'm a sinner as well. I want you to renew me from the inside out." Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for these wonderful testimonies this morning. And we thank you, Lord, too, for the courage of our three candidates this morning to publicly declare their love for you and the joy that you have brought into their lives. But Lord, it is our prayer that no one will leave here without that joy. No one will leave here without that sense of security, of being loved and valued and forgiven. So Lord, bless us each one, we pray, and speak to our hearts. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to